Move by Mamma Mia is the exercise app for anybody, anywhere. And in case you missed it, we dropped a brand new stretching collection that can be used to improve mobility and bookend your favourite sweat sessions. Mamma Mia subscribers get unlimited access to Move, and we drop new workouts every single week. If you're on the hunt for movement that makes you feel good, head to move.mamamia.com.au and use the code MOVE10 to get $10 off a yearly subscription.
You're listening to a Mamma Mia podcast.
From Mamma Mia, welcome to The Spill, your daily pop culture fix.
Hi, I'm Laura Brodnick.
And I'm Key Reese. I'm back, baby. And just in time, because milestone alert, it's our 300th episode. Can you believe it?
I cannot believe that. I feel like we need to pop a bottle of champagne. I mean, we're in different states, but we can still do it. I think drinking champagne in the afternoon is the way to go here.
Oh, I will definitely be toasting some Moet. Lol, just kidding. Chandon. as soon as I get home today. Well, coming up, we have an interview with Georgia Love, and she opens up about working in media and what it's like having a public profile in COVID times, and her thoughts on the Bachelor franchise and how reality TV actually works. But first, our entertainment news headlines.
I have news.
What's the hot goss?
I want more headlines.
So starting off today with a very sad headline, which is that Australian singer Helen Reddy has died at the age of 78. She had been battling dementia for the past 4 years. Helen was famous for a lot of her music that she released, but probably most famous for her huge international hit I Am Woman, which turned her into a complete feminist icon. And if you had listened to our last episode of Watch Club, where we talked about the Stan movie about her life, Iron Woman, you would know we are big fans of her and that she led a completely extraordinary life.
It is such sad news. I cannot believe it. I'm just so glad that she was able to see that movie because it was such a brilliant kind of tribute to her. And we're thinking of all of her family. Well, now, I don't know about you, Laura, but the presidential debate yesterday, it's filled me literally with nothing but dread and sadness for the upcoming election. But it turns out there may be something to look forward to because Sacha Baron Cohen has filmed a sequel to Borat, which will be released right before the election on November 3rd. This sequel will focus on the state of American politics with a focus on Donald Trump and will air on Amazon Prime. So Sasha has been gatecrashing media events throughout this year. We even spoke about the one that he did back in June when he posed as a racist country singer at a right-wing event in Washington where he sang songs about liberals getting chopped up or injected with the Wuhan flu.
I absolutely remember that episode. And to be honest, that song is still stuck in my head.
It's catchy. It's so annoying how catchy it is.
Horrific. And look, I didn't find watching the first presidential debate very funny like some people did. I found it just quite horrifying. So it's good to know that there is some sort of humor coming out of this. And on the topic of sequels, Disney fans get excited, well, at least some of us, because I'm not always a fan of sequels, but The Lion King is getting a prequel. Now, there's no word yet on the cast or release date, but the movie, which is directed by Barry Jenkins, will kind of dive deep into the mythology of the characters, including Mufasa's origin story. So it's quite ambiguous information there, Key, but we know the Disney machine is really into churning out big blockbusters at the moment on really established franchises. And even though I wasn't a huge fan of their live action Lion King, it did make them a huge amount of money. So I can see that they're going to keep going down this path.
I just finally think that Mufasa's going to get his redemption story. Like, I mean, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Lion King, he dies. So I'm just really glad that he's going to be able to, you know, we're going to see a little bit more of him. Thanks, Georgia Love, for joining us today on The Spill. We are so excited to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited, but it's nice to think that you are too, or you're just being very friendly, but I appreciate it.
No, we are excited, and thank you for recording in this brave new world that we're all trying to navigate with interviews nowadays.
I think it would be more sad if we got into it really easily. That means we're way too far into
so
lockdown
true.
COVID world.
Exactly.
If we're still struggling, that's a good thing.
that's what we wanted to kick off by asking you, because we know you're in Melbourne and how difficult that's been for them the last few months. So we wanted to start off by asking you how you are in Melbourne lockdown now, and what's that been like from kind of like a family and relationship perspective? Because we know on one hand, you know, you're having to be in the house with your partner all the time, which is something a lot of people in Melbourne tell us has been difficult, not seeing family. So there's a whole lot of emotions happening there, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just been so long. Lee, my fiance, and I were actually just having this conversation. We're like, you know what? It's actually been really nice. We kind of thought we might kill each other, but I don't think we really do like each other. This kind of forced time together. We're always so busy. Often when we see each other, it's just kind of, you know, putting our heads down on the pillow or, you know, out somewhere for dinner or something like that. So having all these nights at home together has been really, really nice for us. But that said, obviously, like you said, family, none of either of our families are within 5Ks from us, which is what the restriction is in Melbourne at the moment. So we haven't been able to see any of our family members now for, I think it's been 7 or 8 weeks. Oh, wow. Which is really, really tough. Thank God we have Zoom. Imagine if this had happened kind of 10 years ago, it would have been so much harder. But I just can't wait to hug people again. And I feel like even that's so far away.
Well, something else I think that's been really helpful for people in addition to Zoom is podcasts. I think we've all been really relying on them a lot to keep us company through the lockdowns. You've even released your own podcast, and now you have an exciting new role with the Australian Podcast Awards. Can you explain your role as a judge and what podcasts have meant to you during this time?
Oh, yeah, gosh. So my podcast, which is called Everyone Has an Ex, I'd been working on that for quite a while, and the release date ended up coincidentally being our second week of lockdown 1.0 way back in March. Right. So that was probably happy timing, because all of a sudden everyone's stuck inside and looking for entertainment and things to do. So we're just about to release season 2 now as well, which has been so great to do through this time. I have found myself just absolutely speeding through podcasts myself, because there's only so much Netflix. We all watch Tiger King, we're done with that. We all watch Speed Cubers, we're done with that. I just kind of wander around the house. I'm doing cleaning up, or I'm going for a walk when that's all we can do, and I'm just taking in so many podcasts. So I'm absolutely loving that, and I'm so excited that I've been asked to be a judge for the Australian Podcast Awards this year, which I'm so thrilled about. It's quite an intimate medium. I think it's far different than sitting down and watching the telly or a clip on YouTube.
The other way thing we've kind of been really looking for entertainment recently, though, is The Bachelor. And we wanted to talk to you about this because your Twitter commentary around it was such a kind of delight through that season, and kind of hearing your thoughts from both an insider perspective and as a journalist. So we just wanted to kind of ask you, now that that's all wrapped up, like what you kind of think of the end result and the fact that the season seems so centered on the drama and that kind of side to it, which for a few of us was a bit hard to watch because we were looking for an escape. We were looking for some romance, which we did get, but it was a very rocky season.
It's hard to kind of comment on because every season changes. Every season's different. I think there's always drama. You put 20 girls in a house all fighting for the same guy, of course there's going to be drama. In terms of the ending, I don't know how I feel about it, because as a massive fan and a viewer, I felt really like, how dare you do that? You know, what are you doing? Why are you telling them both you love them? Blah, blah, blah. And what do you mean he's picked Irina? He's been so into Bella the whole time. But then as someone who's been on the show and who's runner-up, for want of a better term, you know, was the one who was kind of the favourite and that everyone thought was going to win, I'm protective of the story in that way, because I know that's how my season played out. They really, really hid Lee away, and Maddie really looked like the front runner because that's how they played out in the editing. So I'm trying to be kind on Lockie and Irina, and the editors are going, okay, well, I know what it's actually like behind the scenes. So maybe they did that because it was super obvious it was going to be Irina. They thought they'd better, you know, bring some more intrigue into it.
Oh, that's such an interesting look.
Yeah.
If it hadn't have happened like that, people would be complaining that it was a boring season or that it was too obvious. So you can't keep us reality TV fans happy. That's the main issue.
We're always going to want more. Yeah. I thought your perspective would be quite unique because you do work in media. You're a journalist and you kind of know the tough questions that you need to ask, but also living through the experience yourself. Like, do you feel for them having to go through it, looking back at your experience as well?
Oh, gosh, yes. Because at that time, they've been together now for months. So Friday for them was the first time they can actually be a couple and walk outside and hold hands. And that's so exciting. And then you spend your whole day answering questions about Bella.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lee
really struggled with that in our final interviews. All the questions were about Maddie. And, you know, that's hard because that's months and months ago in reality. And in a normal relationship, you might be seeing two people at once and then decide, okay, no, I'm going to pursue my relationship with this one. You never talk about the other person again. And yeah. You kind of probably never knows about that person.
Yes.
So it's so hard. So I really feel every single season I feel for that couple because inevitably they're going to be asked about the other person. But hopefully that's all nice and done and dusted for them now. And I've been following them on Instagram and they've been hiking all weekend together and they're all loved up. So let's hope that we leave them alone now.
Exactly. Yeah, there's kind of a light at the end of the tunnel for all this drama because we interviewed the new bachelorettes, Ellie and Becky, the other day, who are just delightful and have promised us that their season ends in two very happy endings, which is lovely. But we just wanted to get your thoughts on what you kind of thought when you saw that announcement that there were two bachelorettes, two sisters, and they were kind of shaking up that franchise.
I think it's cool. I don't know how it's going to work, but I think that's the point, right? Because now I'm really excited to watch. So that's a great decision by the producers to do that because I think everyone's super intrigued by that. I love that it's for The Bachelorette. I think The Bachelorette gets a bit of an unfair rap after The Bachelor that it never rates as well. There's never as many guys on it, which I think is really unfair. So I love that they've done it for The Bachelorette because I think this is going to really intrigue people. And I think it's really cool that they're sisters. Like, what a special thing to share as sisters, unless there's weird, like, fighting over the same guy stuff. I just really hope that doesn't happen.
They assured us there wouldn't be, which was really refreshing because I was like, I'm not going to be able to go through this. It's going to be heartbreaking. I wanted to ask, because you are so close with your sister, could you imagine doing it with her, like in a different, obviously different world?
Oh, God, no. No way. Oh, my God. I'm only close to her because we're so different. And
yeah.
We kind of accept that. Although we'd never go for the same type of guy, so at least that bit would work. Yeah. I think Ellie and Becky are the minority of the ones who do that, and I commend them for that.
The exception to the rule. Well, I wanted to talk to you about just the industry, I guess, at large. We're talking about television at the moment. Obviously, working in media and working at Channel 10, this year has been really hard. What was it like for you with the future so uncertain in television and media?
To be honest, it's been like that the whole time I've been in the industry. You know, that's kind of always the thing that people say, oh, there's no future in that. And
yep.
You know, podcasts will take over, radio will, internet will take over. But it's what I'm passionate about, so it's what I've always done. And I've always used the argument, well, when, you know, radio started, they said there was no future for newspapers. When TV started, they said there's no future for radio. So I think there will always be a need and want for news and for television. It's always scary being in that kind of industry, but that's half the fun of it. But if you're willing to do the hard work and you're good at what you do, there probably only got to be three people in every course that get to the top of that anyway. So, and I've always been someone that if I'm told I can't do something, I'm going to bloody do it.
Exactly. That's such a good way to look at it. The other exciting thing we wanted to ask you about, well, probably exciting and a little stressful at the moment, is your wedding preparations, because you've been so open talking about that on your social media feeds. And I think for any bride who was planning to get married this year, it's been a real roller coaster. So where are you kind of at with your wedding plans now? Are you still having to have those discussions around what's going to happen?
Yes and no. So we had initially been planning to have a wedding in Italy, which we just took off the table completely when COVID happened. Who knows when we're going to be able to travel there again. So we are planning for the natural next step, which is obviously Tasmania.
Yes.
the Positano of Australia, as they call it. So we're still forging on ahead, hoping that can happen next year. We've had a few, I've had a few theories, you know, when borders have remained closed and things like Sydney's going so well with your COVID cases, yet there still can only be 20 people on a dance floor at a wedding and things like that. But the thing that Lee and I have said the whole time is if we didn't have this to look forward to, we would be so much more upset and down during lockdown and during all of this. It's been a really wonderful, positive thing to look forward to, not just for us, but for our family and friends as well.
You have been so open talking about your wedding on Twitter. And at one stage, you posted about how upsetting it was, which, as we know, many brides be feeling the same way. And it got picked up by a few tabloids, and you had to issue a retraction saying, like, of course, I know so many other things are happening in the world. And my year started off covering bushfires, and now I'm in lockdown in Melbourne. But it's still okay to be upset about my wedding moving, which I think so many women really related to. Like, it's impossible to feel upset about your own situation and still have huge empathy and grief for the people around you. So what was that like in that moment when you're kind of sharing and so many women are picking up on what you're saying, but then you've got some tabloid media taking that message and spinning it into a negative way?
I truly believe that nobody's pain or hurt or grief or whatever it might be is diminished by somebody else's being larger. You know, I have things that I am far more upset about than my wedding being postponed or not being able to go to Tasmania. There's things I'm far more upset about than that, but that doesn't mean that I can't have a moment where I'm just a bit pissed off about that too. A lot of people have lost their jobs, but other people who haven't, they're still allowed to have a shitty day at work and say, I've had a shitty day at work. Just because someone else has lost their job doesn't diminish that that person might be upset about something. And that's something I really feel this year in particular, people have really lost their empathy for other people. No one else has to feel sorry for me that my wedding's postponed. I don't care what anyone else thinks about it, but I'm allowed to have an afternoon where I feel a bit sad about that. You know, the tweet that I wrote about being sad about Tassie's borders being closed was really tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
And I think everyone's just lost their sense of humour, their sense of empathy, and it's really sad. I think going through something like this collectively, as the whole world has this year, should actually make people a bit more fair on each other, but it's done the opposite. And I just feel a little bit down on humanity some days.
I thought your response was brilliant, and I thought the context that you gave was really good, because I think all of us internally are having that conversation with ourselves about different things like that, but you're allowed to feel your feelings and not be judged for it. Well, I wanted to talk about something more exciting, which is Love Georgia Elliott, your new PJ line. So cute. So talk to us about it. How long has it been in the works, and how hard was it to launch during a pandemic?
Oh, gosh, very. So my best friend and I have launched a sleepwear brand. We've actually been working on it since the end of last year, and we had a completely different line in the works that was just kind of more fashion-y, kind of girly pajamas. But then when COVID hit, it just felt a bit wrong. So we kind of just parked it for a little while. And then I had the idea, the thought that, well, no one in the world is flying anywhere right now. No one's going on business class, and no one's getting their, you know, the cult favorite airline business class pajamas. And so I kind of had that idea. I thought that could be cute to do a take on that. And then even more so, the people like most of us who will never fly business or first class, why can't we have the comfy airline pajamas as well? So I just completely flipped that thinking, and then we started working on that idea. So it's one style, but three colorways and different quotes for, yeah, your cult favorite airline PJs, but better, delivered to your door. You don't have to pay thousands of dollars and fly to the other side of the world. You can just buy them online and they get sent to you. So even just little things like, we had planned a big photo shoot with models and everything. It had to be just me when Lee had to take the photos at home on my bed and my couch because we weren't allowed to leave. So it's been so difficult. You know, the night we launched, we were so excited. We sat over Zoom and had a bottle of champagne over Zoom. And we've said to each other so many times, like, we'll look back and go, God, we did that the hard way. But how cool to have been able to do that this way and produce a product that people are enjoying probably even more because of the situation we're all in.
That was definitely like a beautiful story to come out of lockdown. So it's good to hear that side to it, because we only obviously see the beautiful like launch on Instagram and all the lovely pictures. Well, thank you so much, Georgia, for joining us today and for just, yeah, I guess like bringing a bit of light to our dark world at the moment. And it's so lovely to hear your perspective on everything and share those stories. And I'm sure like a lot of your words will be a lot of comfort to other women going through similar things at the moment. So thank you so much for that.
Oh, thank you so much, guys. It's been so lovely to chat. And yeah, I hope I've been able to make someone smile at least. You've made me smile, so thank you.
Well, thank you so much for listening to our 300th episode today. Spillers, we love you. Thank you for coming on this journey. If you're new listening to The Spill, stick around for the next 300 episodes. And And if you wanted to, you could maybe pop into our Facebook group and give us, I don't know, is it happy birthday? I don't know. No, it's not happy birthday, but it's congratulations. So pop in. You can search us on Facebook under The Spill. This episode of The Spill was produced by Mel Zauer. We'll see you on mamamia.com.au. Bye.
Bye.
Mamma Mia acknowledges the traditional owners of the land we have recorded this podcast on, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultures.